9 of 10. Not many. And not many that also got multiple future NFL draft picks or undrafted free agents. I mean, there's a number of those guys, and I know we're going to go position by position, but, I mean, you look at it in 3, 4, 5. I mean, you're up to 6 NFL draft picks out of this group, 5 or 6 potentially.
And to that point, to your point, the only person out of that group of 10 that didn't have more than 300 snaps in 2023 is Kendrick Blackshear.
Right.
And so look at it that way. And Texas, you know, has done a good job of adding players that can lift up and create a real value add to the 2024 team. What I think was important with their success in the portal, not just in the winter, but also the spring, is that they address some specific needs. But we talk about it all the time, Jerry, about how you have to move and get guys from the portal that fit within what you need as it relates to what you didn't get out of recruiting.
Yeah.
And that's really what Steve Sarkisian addressed. He had a huge deficit at wide receiver. So let's start there, because I think that is the biggest one. Yes, he had Jonte Cook, DeAndre Moore, and even Ryan Niblett coming up through the ranks, but Kasey Kahne transferred out, was not really a big factor for Texas. That left the wide receiver room absolutely barren, and he brings in 3 guys. That's a good barometer, I guess, of what they needed to do at wide receiver, given the lack of recruiting that happened prior to his arrival at Texas, Sark's arrival at Texas.
Yeah, so if you look, you mentioned the guys that were lost to the portal, then Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell go pro. But here's what I'll say. Isaiah Bond, 10.5 in high school. Silas Bolden, 10.61 in high school. Matthew Golden, 10.8 in high school. Texas got faster as a whole at wide receiver through the portal than they were even last year, combined with what they lost. Now, Xavier Worthy's in the Hall of Fame, 4.21, right? Adonai Mitchell ran a great 40 time at the combine. Texas took 2 guys that are going to run 4.3s at their pro days or in the combine. And Matthew Golden's 10.8. And they also got those guys are not only playmakers on the football field at wide receiver, they're playmakers in special teams. Bolden had a punt return for a touchdown last year. Golden had 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns last year. So they brought in 3 guys that 3 touchdowns on special teams at the Power 5 level last year. So that, you know, you look at that, and they brought in more speed as a whole. All 3 of those guys can run. They brought in big-time production, whether it's at wide receiver or special teams. Did they bring in a guy like A.D. Mitchell who you can just throw the ball to the back shoulder and you think 89%, 90% of the time he's going to come down with it? I don't know about that, but I think as a whole, these guys are very good, and Sark's offense is going to be even faster when we get the Nyblack and add him in than it was this last year. So Texas was a playoff team, and they're going to get faster next year. I think that's a really good job of recruiting by Sark and his staff.
Yeah, and I think you have to you got to mention Amari Nyblack, because I think the tight end from Alabama, 20 catches, 4 touchdowns on the season for Alabama, adds that downfield vertical threat that is even different from JT Sanders. But you talk about getting faster. Part of that too is a true freshman in Ryan Wingo.
Yes,
and so when you're talking about the Texas had 2 guys that people worried about speed-wise last year, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
Now they may have to worry about 4 or 5 guys.
From Jaden Blewett running back.
Yep. Jaden Blewett. Yeah, and so it becomes a faster overall team, in part because of what they did in the portal. Talk about Nyblack, and, you know, my concern there is people may not realize this, but J.T. Sanders was never a great blocker.
No.
He became a functional blocker. Mostly for the last half of last year only. He got blown up quite a bit. I mean, he was one of the reasons why Quinn Ewers got injured against Houston.
Yes.
And I'm not pointing fingers or anything.
It just is what
it is. He's never been a great blocker. So it's not like I think Nyblack's the knock on him is that he's not a great blocker. Well, he's replacing someone that wasn't necessarily a great blocker either.
And we walked by Nyblack in Austin. He's a stronger guy than JT Sanders. He is a stronger guy. He will do more bench reps at 225 next year. So I think they're very similar as blockers, though. Neither one of those guys, and especially that's the thing. If there's a worry, that's the thing that kind of worries you in the SEC is these edge rushers. You know, what happens if Mikel Williams beats somebody on, you know, or you're asking him, Nyblack in motion to block a Mikel Williams? It's not going to happen, but it wasn't going to happen with JT Sanders either. It was Nelson Caesar who blew up JT and then blew up Quinn in the Houston game, to your point. So I think that's going to be a push. But I think JT Sanders made a lot of contested catches, tough catches. So I think him and Nyblack are different. But when Nyblack catches the football, he moves like a wide receiver. And those guys scare defensive coordinators because now you're looking around, you're saying, Bolden can run. Golden can run. All these guys are 10-8 guys are better at wide receiver. And now you have a tight end that's probably a low 4.5s guy at the NFL Combine a year from now. So these D coordinators are looking around saying, wow, I mean, we better get pass rush because we can't cover these guys very long. And I think that's where Sark really hit a home run in the portal this year is all that speed that he can put on the field from the portal. And a lot of those guys are going to be NFL draft picks or undrafted free agent guys. There's not a guy on this list that's not going to be on the NFL radar, isn't already on the NFL radar. They all are. So I just love what Sark did with the speed. And Nyblack catching the ball in the screen game in the spring game was interesting to me because he could be a real threat there, especially if you clear more space with that speed at wide receiver.
Yeah, so that's the offense. Four signees on offense from the portal, Jerry. All speed guys, frankly, to your point. Hey, before we get going and further, I want to say thank you. And before we get going to the defense, I want to say thank you to Allegiant Digital Marketing. Did you know that among the top 9 challenges business owners face, the most difficult ones include finding customers, increasing brand awareness, digital advertising, and lead generation? What if I told you I could point you to a local homegrown agency here in Austin that could solve those problems for your business once and for all? For more than 25 years, Allegiant Digital Marketing founder and CEO Chad Markham, a UT grad and instructor of the Digital Marketing Bootcamp here at UT Austin, has helped thousands of businesses overcome these challenges. Take advantage of their Hook'em Horn special and save up to $2,500 in advertising. Visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball to learn more today. We appreciate Chad and his team helping us out here at On Texas Football. Jerry, we move over to defense. The defensive line was circled with an exclamation point, an asterisk, and whatever else you want to say. The Longhorns went to a single school and got two. Arizona starter Bill Norton came over to Texas in the spring recruiting cycle. Tia Savea, an Arizona backup that had 300-plus snaps last year at defensive tackle, also saw time came over to Texas in the winter portal cycle. I know Texas wanted another big time guy over the nose. Is that where, if you had to say anything, Texas may have come up a little short, even with bringing over 600 snaps at defensive tackle from another team this year?
Yeah, I think that the difference maker, the guy that an offensive coordinator says, God, we got a game plan this guy. They didn't get that guy. But I think they got adults in the room who have a lot of experience. They have SEC size, right? Now, I'll continue to say this about Bill Norton. While Arizona last year was the first time he really played snaps in a game, meaningful snaps in a game, he practiced against Georgia NFL offensive linemen for 4 years. So he's going to get in these games against Michigan and Georgia and Florida and Oklahoma and A&M, and he's not going to see anything he didn't see in practice across from him, lined up across from him for 4 years in Athens. So these guys are ready. And I'll say this too. You think it won't mean something to Bill Norton to play in the SEC at Texas this year and maybe prove to people that, you know what, I was good enough. And with the understanding that Georgia was just a bunch of NFL guys in front of him at the time. Maybe I am good enough to be here. And Savea, look, it's that Silas Bolden thing we've had Silas Bolden on. These guys relish the opportunity to go into the SEC and prove people they can play at this level. But then you look at it, too, is those guys were on a 10-win team. This is one of the things. I'm getting a little off track here, but Bolden and Nyblack were on a playoff team. Silas Bolden was on the best Oregon State team in years. I mean, Jamion Cole was on the best San Jose State team in a while. The head coach got the job at Arizona. Texas brought in some winners. Trey Moore has watched Jeff Traylor hoist conference championship trophies. I mean, Texas brought in some winners, and I'd say that because Sevilla and Norton were a big part of Arizona winning 10 games and 7 in a row and being a top 25 team, and nobody had Arizona. And that their coach got the Washington job, Jed Fish. So these guys were part of some winning programs, and we underestimate them when we talk player to player. But I think Sevilla and Norton, what they bring to Texas, they're not the difference maker that's going to go out there and the team's going to have to game plan for. But what they do know is they do know success, how it happened, whether it was Georgia or Arizona. And I think these guys are going to have a little something to prove, and they're going to be able to prove it with SEC size. And I think that's the big thing, because when you go to Michigan and you play the SEC schedule, you can't be undersized on that schedule at Texas this year on the defensive front. That's going to lead to issues.
Winners win. And I think I saw a little bit of the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady roast last night. And, you know, Bill Belichick's job, our famous phrase is do your job. Winners, in fact, do their job really well, Jerry, yes. To your point. So I think that's part of what you're saying. When you get those guys, they've tended to do their jobs, and that's why they're part of winning teams. All right, let's go on, because I think maybe the most intriguing guy for me that we didn't see enough of in the spring because of injury or just feeling, you know, little dinged up, Trey Moore, a young man out of UTSA, 14 and a half sacks last year, 8 sacks the year prior. I mean, look, Texas has had issues getting guys on the ground, quarterbacks. It's been something that we really want to see Texas do better. They had 32 sacks a year ago. Was Trey Moore kind of, in some ways, the centerpiece of this defensive class in from a portal perspective?
Yeah, I think absolutely he was, because Texas has to address the pass rush moving to the SEC. The offensive tackles on the whole are bigger, longer limb athletes. And Texas knows that they have to get the quarterback to the ground more. They have to get more hits on the quarterback, get the quarterback to the ground more. Do you need to look no further than two games last year? The two games Texas lost, Dillon Gabriel and Michael Penix. What did they not do in those games? They didn't get hits and quarterback to the ground. And that was the two losses last year. And you're going to face some better offensive lines now. And people have asked, how does Texas maximize the defense under PK? To me, that's the whole deal. Trey Moore, he needs to come in and be an 8 to 10 sack guy. Now, he had 14 and a half at UTSA, but against the Tennessee, he's game planned against. I'm not sure teams can game plan against Trey Moore this year. So I think he's going to have great opportunity playing next to or opposite from Burke, Sorrell, and some pretty good interior defensive linemen, and the guy Colin Simmons right behind him. I think he was the key guy, Bobby. I think Makuba was 1B in that, but he was he's so important for Texas, because you have to get hits on the quarterback. You have to get the quarterback to the ground. We talked about it on the Sunday Night Longhorn live stream. Texas had 32 sacks last year. Okay, that number's got to get over 35. The national champion, Michigan, at 39. Georgia 3 years ago had 45. Nick Saban's teams are all between 39, 43, 44, 45 a year. Clemson, when they won their titles, were over 40 a year. You have to get that number up. And if you get that number up, you're getting more hits on quarterbacks. You're getting teams behind the chains. You have them playing in more second and third and longs. That's a big step for Texas, and that makes Trey Moore the number one guy on defense.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the guy that I've got circled that will have the most impact on defense in some ways. But I also believe that Andrew Makuba is probably the guy that may actually be the steadying force of a defense that needed it, given they lost Jaron Thompson and Terrence Brooks, both starters, a year ago to the portal. Now, Thompson, I think, you know, he wasn't necessarily in a situation where he was a high-level starter. Terrence Brooks actually had some good numbers overall. But Makuba brings that three-year starter mentality to a Texas secondary that needs some older guys, especially a secondary at the safety position that lost quite a bit to the portal. Not just Jaron Thompson, but also Keaton Crawford. And other guys, B.J. Allen as well. So let's take the DBs next. First of all, let's start with Mukuba. Yeah. And I want to finish with the newest commitment, Javion Cole. Let's start with Mukuba and your thoughts there.
Again, another guy from a winning program, right? Is Clemson sliding a little bit? Yeah, because Dabo's just hard-headed and refuses to go to the portal. But that was a program with big expectations. They win football games. They have guys drafted. And I think the other thing with Mukuba, look, he has experience. He can play nickel. He can play safety. I think he's a better safety than nickel, but he can play either one. I think it's going to mean so much to him to wear the Texas uniform his final year in college. And that can't be talked about enough because, look, if Texas had been a winning program when he came out of high school, a consistent winner like a Clemson, he probably goes to Texas, right? But this is going to be important and impactful for him to play at Texas his final year of college football. But again, Texas got faster at safety. They got faster overall at wide receiver. They got faster at tight end. They got faster and quicker and more athletic on the edge with Trey Moore and Colin Simmons. And this goes into what I'm saying in Mukuba, and I think Javion Cole is a faster player than Terrence Brooks is. Texas got faster at a lot of positions, and I don't think we can talk about that enough headed to the SEC. Makuba's a better player than a Jaren Thompson or a Keaton Crawford. He's also a much faster player than Jaren Thompson was. Keaton Crawford's fast. He just didn't always know where to get there, and he didn't have the eyes to play safety. He just wanted a safety. So that makes Mukuba faster than Keaton Crawford, too, at safety because he actually can play the position. So Texas got faster at so many positions, Bobby, than Javion Cole. The one thing he has, to me, he has a feel for getting his head turned and making plays on the football. He's got a feel in zone coverage for jumping routes, right? I think that's the thing is he's got speed, but he's also got playmaking on the ball. So I think Texas crushed it the portal because they got more athletic team speed at several positions. And when you combine that with the high school speed at the same positions of Brian Wingo, Colin Simmons, Phil Samee at safety after he gets his feet wet, right? Texas upgraded their speed 1 through 85 on their roster, I think, considerably, and that started with the guys in the portal.
Speed, 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 and I also would add wins to your point. I think you made a great point about midway through this podcast about the number of winning teams these guys are coming from. And it's not just the Alabamas or the Arizonas that we knew about. I mean, it's Clemson, it's Oregon State, it's even San Jose State. Which had a record year out there for them as well. So I think you made some good points here, and I think that that's where Texas fans, we need to find out. Good players from good teams coming on board and experienced players from good teams, Jerry.
And let's say this. Look, these guys have something to prove in their own ways. And I said this about Black and Nye, Bond and Nye Black the whole way through. They have the same taste in their mouth Texas did at the end of the year. They felt like they could have won a national championship. They didn't get it done, right? So they got that final hill they could climb at Texas this year. Then you have Golden and Bolden. They've always thought they were under-recruited, and now they have a chance to prove it on the SEC stage at the University of Texas. They have the same chip on their shoulder. Then you go to Trey Moore. He bet on himself. He's been in a winning program. Jeff Traylor's a great coach, does a great job there. But he bet on himself that, you know what, I'm going to go prove to people, the NFL scouts, people that didn't recruit me in high school, that I should have been here all along. I had Ivy League offers. I was undersized, but I still should have been here all along. Then you have Savay and Norton. They have a chance to prove it in the SEC this year. Mukuba may be the one guy that it's just important to him to play at Texas versus I'm here to prove something. I mean, he was at Clemson. He was all freshman All-American. I mean, he was, you know, all ACC on some level. But then you have Javion Cole, who's very similar to Silas Bolden. I started at Cal Poly. I worked my way up. I was under-recruited. I got that chip on my shoulder, too. So I think the guys Texas added all have something to prove in different ways, and I think that makes for a great portal class.
That's good stuff, Jerry. All right, before we let you go, we want to say thank you again to our sponsor. That's Chad Markin and his friend or his group at Allegiant Digital Marketing. If you're a business owner who struggles with any of the following, finding new customers, consistent leads, or marketing services to promote your business that actually work, founder and CEO Chad Markin with Allegiant Digital Marketing, an Austin-based advertising agency, has helped thousands of business owners just like you for more than 25 years conquer these challenges. So if you're ready to start making money in your business and grow with confidence, visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball and get a free marketing plan. Plus, you can save up to $2,500 in advertising with their Hook'em Horns special today. Also want to remind folks that you can actually get a subscription to On Texas Football as well, just for $39.95. Become an OG. That's what we call people that subscribe. All you have to do is use the user or the special code OTFOG, and you get $20 off an annual subscription. That's OTFOG. Apply the code $39.95. You won't get a better deal out there anywhere. We are the place to follow the Longhorns. Join our community. More than 1,000 people have signed up in less than a month. We really appreciate you guys out there for doing that. All right. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football. Hook 'em.